Hi, my name is Nick Tibusek, and you are about to bring your strength and skills, and through that, your body, to a complete new level with this podcast. In this podcast, you're not only learning about what's needed to train successfully, but also how to stay healthy and in shape long term. As a calisthenics athlete and coach, I train some of the best athletes in the world, and I will show you what details really matter and how to use the three cornerstones of planning, technique, and mindset to build yourself into the best version of yourself. This podcast is a combination of science, practical experience, and personal stories, which used in the right way will change your whole life. If you want more performance, look great, have more skills and mental power for your training, you're exactly right here. Because here you will learn how to make that happen. Welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. Let's walk the walk. Hello and welcome to this new podcast episode. And I would love to tell you about a topic that I get actually asked a lot about by my clients, about by people that approach me on social media. And this is mostly about how to actually do the right resting times. And resting times is a very critical topic, as I would usually say that's something you definitely should auto-regulate. But for some people, especially resting times are the main factor why training is getting very, very long. And especially nowadays, as we all have our jobs, usually we don't have like 4 hours of time for each training session. And to keep things a little bit shorter, I would like to give you a little kind of advice on how you can actually approach your training rest periods in between the sets. So this is extremely crucial. This is not in between the sessions, it's in between the sets. So usually I would say, when you come into training, there's a rule of thumb. When you are in somewhere, we have to talk about RPE here, or RIR, which is in the end rate of perceived exertion, or reps in reserve, which is pretty much very similar to each other, pretty much the same. But in the end, this is actually how hard something is for you. So it's kind of rating the intensity that you have there. So just to get you a little bit of an explanation in up front. I know we do have a episode on that, but I would just like to explain it to you up front. So an RPE 10 is you can't do one more rep. There's just, this is the end. This is it. You grind it out everything. You can't do one more rep. An RPE 9 is usually you are able to do one more rep. And an RPE 8 would be 2, 7 would be 3, 6 would be 4. Yeah, 5 would be like 5 or something, yeah. And reps in reserve is pretty much the name already tells us, all right? It's pretty much the same thing, but it just is a little bit better to understand for most people. So if you have like reps in reserve 1, that would mean you have one more rep in reserve. So you see, that's a pretty easy approach to just scale a little bit of intensity here. Yeah, usually you can say, if you look it up online, RPE chart, yeah, on Google, you're gonna find a lot of stuff out there about that topic. But usually you can say RPE 10 is above 90% of your estimated one rep max, and that should be pretty hard to you usually when it comes to singles. But of course you can also use this rating thing for several reps, so in the end you know, okay, I know this one was extremely hard to me, or not so extremely hard. Okay, just to have a rough guideline right here, when you have something that is an RPE 5, then you see you can easily go with like 1 minute breaks in between. If you have like 6, then you go for an RPE 6, then you go for like 2 minutes. An RPE 7 would be like 3 minutes, an RPE 8 like 4 minutes, and an RPE 9 would be like 5 minutes, and 10 would be as needed. But I would always keep it in the range of 5 to 7 minutes. I know sometimes you feel like, oh fucking hell, I need to take like 10 minutes break in between when it really gets heavy. I know this. This is why I say usually take it as needed. But on the other hand, we also have to consider there is not endless time here. for certain training sessions. So we have to keep that in mind. Another thing that we also have to keep in mind after we had this rough guideline right here is that usually when you have certain exercises, that some of the exercises might need more rest and some of them might need less resting time. So when it comes up to, let's say, pull-ups, my experience says I don't need too much resting time. I need some resting time, but I don't need too much of it. And when it comes to really heavy dips, I need a lot more resting time. But when I do more reps of dips, as an example, I don't need too much resting time. And then my shoulder girdle is usually very fried from one rep max attempts and stuff like that. Then I just need more time to recover from that. Same goes for skills to me. When I have something that really, really taxes my shoulder girdle, then I definitely have to rest a little longer. But this also depends a little bit on the exercise. So to me, it is really it depends answer right here. But what I definitely can say is squats and deadlifts take some more time. So what I can definitely recommend to you is when you have exercises that usually put some pressure on your spine. So exercise like squats, deadlifts, maybe also an OHP and stuff like that, which are definitely you're moving objects out of your body. So when you put some more weight on the spine, so everything has to be stabilized and central nervous system has to stabilize everything a little bit more, usually that takes for me to recover a little longer. And from my experience, this is something that's not only with me, this is pretty much with everybody. So we can say these exercises are just more taxing. The body needs a little longer to recover from that. Also, what we have to say, it also depends a lot on how you are in shape. So for most calisthenics people that are listening, they are usually pretty lean and in a pretty good shape. So that really helps also in recovery. There is a too lean, then you don't recover that well. But usually when you are a little bit more on the body fat side of life, on the cookie side of life, then you usually can say people do recover a little slower. Also, that something that definitely plays a role here is how often do you do cardio? Do you do cardio? Because that also, as you might know from the last episode that I did about this recovery topic, there is some evidence that cardio does play a role in recovery, and it does play a role in between sets. So there are several factors that come in there when it comes to that. But as I already said, this is a rough guideline. So it's not 100% because you never can tell that, but this is a rough guideline to where we can adapt from. So don't take it too long, don't take it too short. So the idea is to be pretty sufficient with the amount of recovery. So that the very important part here is to say, I don't want to say really this is it. So because it's not going to be like you're going to be fully recovered all the time with this amount of time, because the idea here needs to be that we recover as much as possible, but still be a little bit time efficient in training. So I just hesitate to say complete recovered, as some people may take that a little bit too far here. So what I would really say is you can say you will fairly be well recovered, but I wouldn't say that you have to
rest like 15 minutes in between sets, and because you're going to get cold. You're going to be recovered, but you're going to get cold and stuff like that. And we want to be warm in training and stuff. This is the topic is pretty big, as you can see. So I'm getting in trouble here right now. So all right, take your time, stay with the rough guideline, and do it like that. Something that we also have to consider when it comes to that here is also the topic of when we do several reps of something. Let's say you did 20 reps of squats at 6, that will still take a little bit longer for you to recover from. Especially when it comes to me, I could say maybe I can do like, I don't know, 150 for 20 or something like that. I definitely would have to recover a lot after that. So that would probably go into the direction of 10 minutes for me. So you can't really say, this is it. This is the one answer that gives the answer to everything here. But what we have to keep in mind is when we have a variety of certain exercises, then we have to look at the single exercise which is in front of us, how we take the recovery time in between. Because if I look at something where I do, like, let's say push-ups, from push-ups I recover pretty fast. So that's something we have to keep in mind here. I could do 20 push-ups easily, and let's say 50, and don't have to take a lot of a big break. So that's something we have to consider here. That, as I already said, there are exercises that will tax you a little bit more, and some will not be that taxing. The variety is definitely high. So if we have a high volume at a low RPE, times might be a little shorter. If we have a low volume with a high RPE, the times might be a little longer. So that's definitely something that we can say. But I think everybody knows the same thing. If you had, like, let's say you did handstand push-ups on the wall, and you did it for reps. So let's say you had, like, I don't know, let's say 10 reps. 3 sets, 10 reps. In between, you don't need that much time of recovery time, you know. You can say, 3 minutes is pretty good for that. Let's say the same for back squats. We had 3 sets of 10 reps. And both of the exercises, you did it at an RPE 7 to 8. I would say, from what I know for myself, I take a little longer to recover from that. So you can see the exercise selection is highly, highly important for that. And of course, the amount of reps that we have to do here. So all in all, I think to have this rough guideline and keep in mind that we always have to consider the individual situation for the individual person, then we can go on from here. I hope this one helped you a lot, and thank you for listening. If you need any help on that, just shoot me a message and reach out to me. I think you already know that. You can catch me up on Instagram, Nick_Tibu, or you just hit up the Strength and Skills podcast. There's also the possibility to send an email to office@strengthandskills.de, and then I come back to you. All right. Thank you, guys, of course. And if you know someone who might profit from this episode, just shoot him this episode. So that we can help everybody to grow a little bit better and make more gains. Thank you, guys, and catch you in the next episode.